Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and tonight is July 27th. I'm so glad you're with me tonight, and so excited to have my guest, Blair Styra. Yay! So excited you're with me. Yay! All the way from New Zealand, live. Yes, we're so excited. And as we're just saying, isn't technology wonderful? Isn't it? And I was just thinking, yeah, we are alive in amazing times. I mean, we picked really good times to be here so that we can do things like this.
Absolutely. You know, it just astounds me all the time. When, you know, I mean, I was a child born in 1960, and when you think about technology and how things have advanced from that particular time, you know, and I remember watching Star Trek when I was a child, and you know, the things that we're doing now is what they were doing then, you know, but of course, at the time, fantasy.
Exactly. And it was it was fantasy.
Yep.
Absolute fantasy.
Well, it makes you think, where are we going to go from here? If that was fantasy then, where are we going to go from here?
I know, because it's like, really, what was, I mean, are there shows, I mean, there are shows on that are showing, I guess, beyond, but it's like, those were the leaders. I mean, those were the, as far as where we were going. So it's like, I don't watch that many shows anymore. So do you?
No, but I'm just thinking, you said that when I look at some of the TV programs that are around, the films that are around, and I often think about, is it a subliminal way of sowing seeds within our consciousness to accept, you know, the realm? Like, I mean, look at the Star Wars things and the ongoingness of those films, and Lord of the Rings and all those sorts of things as well. It's like we're being educated that we're multidimensional. And I think people sort of accept that more. And you know, I remember years and years ago when I had a client here, and she had been a producer on that TV program called Touched by an Angel. I don't know if you remember that one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And anyway, and I had explained to her that, you know, when Tamash comes through, I often get shiny, I glow. And anyway, it happened. And when she came back, and she said to me, she said, you know, it was like Monica on the TV program, except it was real as opposed
to real.
Like,
was it special effects?
Well, it was, but from up there. And I think Spirit is really good at working with special effects when they need to, actually.
Yes.
Just to make a point or, you know, even just, I think they're having a bit of a laugh sometimes. It's like, oh, we'll just make Blair really shiny and freak them out. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Oh, they absolutely, I've seen them do that all the time. They'll do appropriate things for appropriate times and places and people and whatever's needed.
Yeah, totally. So, hello, I'm looking so forward to seeing you very soon. It's going to be absolutely awesome.
Oh, I know. And let's talk about what we're talking about. We're talking about the expo that's coming up just in a couple of weeks now, probably like 10 days or something, not even that. But it's Expanding Human Consciousness Expo that you will be a presenter at. I'm so excited. Yes. You and Tabash will be a presenter. So.
Yeah, I'm just the body. Actually, I was talking to someone the other day and I was telling them I was doing this seminar. And they said, well, what sort of preparation do you put in for this? And I said, well, I pack my bag. That's about it. And they go, really? And I said, yeah, I just take my body there and then Tabash does the rest. He doesn't even tell me what he's going to talk about, you know. So I was thinking to myself afterwards, it's like, wow, that's quite a big lesson in trust, really, isn't it? You know, and when you think about doing this for over 33 years, and you just, you know, with all the public stuff I've done, not just on and with you guys, but other places too. And this just, I never make notes. There's no preparation. Yeah. You know, it's just allowing the pure vibration to flow through. And it's about expanding consciousness. You know?
Exactly. And that's what I want to do tonight is more of that, because we were having a talk one night or one day, whatever it was. And we were just talking and just as friends, we were talking and you were kind of talking about, you said something about, you know, it's like the Rainbow Bridge, which is the subject of your next book. And it was about what that is really. And that was part of what we were talking about as far as what I needed help with and stuff. And that was just so beautiful. And I don't want to take away from, you know, the presentation that you'll have, but I want you to talk about as far as what we'll, need. I mean, you're gonna talk about whatever you need to, because Spirit's gonna move you in whatever you need to do here for this. But that's what it's about: expanding human consciousness. So whatever you want to give us right here, okay? So go.
And obviously, you know, I'm not going to steal Tomas's thunder, and you know, you'll do this.
Yeah, exactly.
On the day, and from my own personal experiences in where we're at in human consciousness at this particular point, and I've been involved in my self-development for, you know, well over, you know, 35 years, and so, you know, in my observations of what's going on in humanity at this particular point, I believe that probably for the first time in history, there's probably more people who understand and believe in what I'm going to call the God nature and how it works with us than those who don't. And so there's a higher percentage of, you know, those who've got it. And it's changed the way we think, it's changed the way we feel. And therefore, it's changing what we want, what we need. And so as I was writing in my book, you know, we're all crossing these rainbow bridges. And these rainbow bridges are the bridges that we cross towards our higher nature, our God nature. And once we cross these bridges, there's no turning back. And this is the great thing about this. We've turned a corner where there's no turning back. So we can't get so involved in our human nature anymore. In the way that we used to, because our physiological system, our mental system, emotional systems are more aligned with, you know, source power, you know, the God vibe, whatever you want to call it.
My whole body's vibrating with what you're saying right now.
It's been really interesting because I've been drawn a lot to working with my higher nature at this point. And so I've been having a lot of meditations on attuning to my higher self and aligning with my higher self. Sometimes I've just been just doing my own thing. Other times I've been Googling on, you know, on the net and see, you know, what guided meditations can come up with connecting with your higher self, all that sort of stuff. One particular, and I'm sure you won't mind me mentioning, is a guy called Jason Stevenson, who's a musician and a teacher and a healer. And his stuff, he's Australian. His stuff's amazing. And I just resonate to it. And what I like about his stuff is that, you know, he presents these guided meditations, and some of them are like 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and you can do the 3-hour ones if you want. But I think in the way that we live nowadays, you know, because I always go for the, you know, where's the 20-minute one?
I'm with you.
I've got too much to do. And anyway, so I had this meditation on this, and it just took me into this energy. And the moment it says, here's your higher self, bang, I got this picture in my mind. And then I just simply burst into tears. It was just this disalignment. Anyway, since then, I've been really feeling the vibration of it, you know, enormously. And the other night, higher self gave me a little bit of a fright because I was sound asleep, dreaming away. And I was lying on my left, and suddenly I opened my eyes. And there's my higher self literally floating above the bedside table, looking at me sort of like this. And of course, you know, what does a person do naturally? Well, you would yell. So that's what I did. Like,
like, somebody looking. So what did it look like?
It was a humanoid shape. It was the shape of a person. Uh-huh. It had features, but his skin was copper, burnished copper. Now the thing is, I've come to understand, is everyone's higher self presents itself in a complete different way.
Right, okay.
So even if you're a man, sometimes your higher self could be a woman. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if you're, you know, when you're a woman, sometimes your higher self could present itself to you as a man. So mine presents itself in this sort of androgynous male type of sort of energy. And just a sense of what I get from it's like a sense of common sense, like, you know, I know. And yet this whole feeling of, I don't know, this complete love and trust and feeling that here's a being who is just there. Of course, and remember, you know, your higher self is just a higher part of you. And so it's a part of you that accepts your God nature, your God frequency. Anyway, so after I sort of chilled out a little bit and And I put the thought out, you know, I said, would you give me a fright for? Like that. He goes, well, he says, that was your choice.
That's how you chose to react.
Absolutely. And right, so higher nature said, source power was downloading some energy and information into your body. So I was monitoring what was going on.
Oh.
So that's what the energy was doing, basically. And then it made sort of jokes and said something like, oh, you look so lovely when you're asleep and stuff like this. But the funny thing is because higher self has a voice, see. But whenever I hear higher self voice, it sounds like Siri, you know, on the telephone. So I'm thinking, why did I create that reality? And, of course, you can change the voice on Siri, you know. So mine is an English voice, and it always goes like, hello, Blair, how are you? Sort of like this. But you know, making that link with your higher consciousness is just the most extraordinary thing that you can do. And so because it's a part of you that knows everything, it's a part of you that has the answers, has the power. It's right. A part of you that is has total autonomy over, you know, your life. You know, it's the part of you that's creating your life. But then a thing is to remember also is that, you know, your higher nature works for you and your higher good, which means it will also point out if there are any idiosyncrasies or areas that you need to put some focus on. And I don't like to measure in the terms of positive or negative. I prefer to say productive or counterproductive.
I like that.
Yeah. And so the thing I've noticed in the concept of walking towards your higher nature, crossing these bridges, is not only are we accepting the advancement of ourselves, but we are also putting the spotlight on our human nature and all the areas of our human nature as individuals and collectively that we still need to smooth over. And that is the reason why everyone is facing their stuff, as we'll put it. And there's no hiding anymore from anything. Now it's about accepting, okay, these are my issues. This is what I need to do with it, or this is how I'm carrying it. So it doesn't have to be anymore about, oh, how did I get here? And, you know, what have I done in a past life to deserve this stuff? It's more, okay, if I'm going to be God in a body, I have to accept that, you know, I'm mucked up here a bit, or there's something I need to change here. And this is what we're doing. We're not being forced. We're asking of our own nature, okay, you know, if I really believe in who I am, this is the time to actually, you know, put it into practice. And I think about, you know, when I missed the last conference.
Right.
And, of course, a lot of people don't realize that I was actually in hospital at the time.
Right. No, we didn't tell anyone what happened.
And what happened was that I created something called osteomyelitis, which was, you know, a massive bone infection. And so I ended up 2 weeks in hospital and, like, 9 months on antibiotics sort of stuff. Anyway, that was a time where I really kicked into my higher nature. And I asked my higher nature, right, you know, if there's ever a time that I need to put into practice what I believe and what I know, this is the time. And so I would have these meditations on my higher nature. Now, 90% of my bone had been destroyed by this infection. And the surgeons had talked about putting a rod through me and all that sort of stuff, but I wasn't going to have any of that. Anyway, so I just kicked into, okay, I said to higher self, can you regrow my bone? And it would just say, very practically, of course. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, can I watch when you do it? And it would say, yeah. And so it would show me. And I just got in as a picture in my mind. And what I saw was my higher self. And it said, right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw energy from source. And I'm going to bring your energy from your physiological system up to meet it from source. And then what I saw was really interesting. So everything became red for some reason. And then I saw all these little molecules all moving around. And then I asked higher self, well, what's that going to be? And they said, well, it's going to be a new bone. And then gradually, as the molecules slowed down, they started to form this bone, this humerus bone, you see. And then once it was there, it was right in front of me. It was as solid as it could be. And then I saw this hand reach up, take the bone, and then just click it into my arm like that.
Isn't that cool?
I mean, the thing is, to me, it's like, oh, yeah, this just makes sense.
Yeah. See, it's like, why not?
Yeah, there was nothing sort of like spooky about it or freaky about it or anything. It was like, oh, yeah, this is how it works. This is how life works. Anyway,
exactly.
Then I went and had my first x-ray, which was about 4 weeks after my op. The surgeon scratched his head and sort of made this sort of noise like, oh. And I said, is that a good O or a bad O? And he says, well, it's a bit of a confused one. He said, you've had 30% bone growth in 4 weeks. And he goes, that can't happen. And I just sort of smiled. And then he said, well, what have you been doing? Just jokingly, he said that. So I said, well, I've been working with my higher self and asking it to regrow my bone. I've been doing 2 meditations a day with that. I've been working with electromagnetic frequencies. I've been working, you know, I just explained everything holistically what I've been doing. And he just got this blank. And he said, well, I don't know about that, but, you know, whatever you're doing, it's working. But the interesting thing about this is after that, now this is the major surgeon who did my operation, and you'd think he'd be consulting with me in every appointment I had, which is pretty monthly. From that moment on, I never saw him again. And every time he just sent someone else in. And it's like he could not deal with what I had seen.
Yeah, you were undermining his belief system.
Absolutely. Even on my last appointment where I had everything all clear, which was within 6 months, by the way. And you'd think he'd come and say bye, but no, you know, just didn't.
Yeah, and tell them what you told me about how long it was supposed to take.
Oh, absolutely, because the surgeon said that it's probably going to take at least 2 years, you know, for complete recovery of your arm. And I thought, no, I can do that in much shorter time. But the thing is, I didn't get caught up into, I'm going to cure myself in 6 months. But you know, it's interesting, Julia, because it wasn't just a process of aligning to my higher self. It made me realize in that whole time, and it's taken probably about a year, you know, in total, not to heal, but just to put down the energies that I needed to put down. It really made me realize that we are the masters of our lives. And that nobody else is going to do a thing. And you know, it reminds me of a meditation I had recently where I found myself in spirit and I was attending a lecture. And the spirit lecturer was talking about God. And what they said was really interesting. They said, never ask God for an answer, because God can't give you one. Never ask spirit for an answer. Spirit can't give you an answer. They say, if you ask for an answer, then you're denying yourself that you are source power.
Oh, wow.
Because separating yourself, therefore, that's, you're saying you do not have the power. So what they said is that instead, you say to God, hey, God, I got this issue. Could you give me more power? Can you give me more life? And God's going to go, absolutely, here, take it all. And then what that does, it stimulates a part of you that knows what to do.
Wow.
And I just thought, that makes so much sense. And from that moment on, I thought, no more questions. No more answers. I don't need any answers. You know, I need the power of life. I need to know that every day I'm accessing all this energy. And that's what I asked for. And then me as a God, I decide what I'm going to do with it. And such a... It doesn't feel like this heavy responsibility. Again, it just feels like, well, that's just how it works. You know, this is what it is to be source energy. You know, this is how we are as human beings, you know, working with this conscious energy all the time.
But see, and like you said, and it's when you realize that, it's the realization of that.
Yeah.
That... I mean, that's what does it.
Yep. Except the word eureka, I see the light. So it's like just, you know, turning a light on and it go, oh, yeah, I can see that. You know, it's like Taban says how he defines enlightenment. He says it means to be in light of life. So you just go into life's room and you turn the light on.
Yeah, and everything's
exposed. And then you suddenly go, oh, actually, everything's already here. Yeah. And that everything, whether you like it or not, it's always going to be there. But then when you have that realization, then you realize because you see everything, then you can be selective in what you pay attention to. And so it just comes down to choice, basically. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you get that, it's actually quite fun and creating from that moment. I was in... last year, I was in Arizona speaking at another conference, and it was called the New Earth. And you know, we're talking about, you know, how Dolores has talked about, you know, the new earth energies and that it's right now, you know, we're involved in frequency right now. Anyway, I was up visiting my wife at the care home, and usually the time I come back, the traffic is terrible. It's rush hour. So I sat in the car park and I thought, well, I can create a different frequency. I'm going to go into the new earth energy. So I decided that now I can get home in a very quick way. Anyway, so pulled out, and it was like driving through town on a Sunday morning about 4 a.m. Got home in something like 2 minutes. Anyway, a mate of mine who had been up there with me, he was following me. And then he rings me up. I was home by this stage. He rings me up and he goes, oh, where are you? I said, well, I'm at home. And he goes, well, how did you get home so quickly? He says, I'm caught up into all this terrible traffic. I'm going to be ages.
And what traffic?
In my world.
Exactly.
And you know, I think that the more we can have those experiences, and this is something about expanded consciousness, the more we're realizing that we're actually training our minds and our bodies to recognizing this. Oh, this is how it works. And it's not, you know, magic, and it's not, you know, something you have to earn, and it's not something you got to figure out. You know, it's just the way life works. And you know, when you see that and feel that, it's a lot of common sense. And then it just seems like you're, well, it feels to me anyway, my body then just knows what to do, mm-hmm. what to right. think. It's like it's recognizing, like, oh, yeah, at last, you got it. Now let's get on with it. Mm-hmm. And right. getting back to what I was saying before, this is what we're being exposed to at this particular point. Because we're more powerful, that means we're more ready to accept, okay, this is my reality, it's nobody else's, and I have to deal with it. And of course, dealing with it doesn't mean, you know, putting yourself under a huge amount of pressure as such. You know, it's just you standing still and looking at what are the better arrangements that one can make, you know, to be able to, you know, even these things up. And you know, like I said before, not putting a whole lot of attention onto, well, I've got to get rid of that. You can't get rid of it. It's about realizing, well, this will always be a part of my experience, but I know that I don't have to have it in front of me all the time. You know, I can just simply take this, put it over there, knowing it has its place, and then I can pay attention to that which I prefer.
Right.
And then whether that's my body or spirit stuff, it's all the same. And so, you know, these energies that we're being exposed to at this particular point happens because, as individuals, we've evolved to a place, individually but also collectively, where we're actually able to receive these frequencies and these vibrations. And I think also, too, over the last 10 years particularly, our physical bodies have become adept at understanding this. It's like a new language. And so it's like a vibration language. So our cells are receiving this new language, and we've learned how to speak it. And so now we're externalizing that vibration.
Okay, explain that a little further.
Okay, so okay. If you think about on a cellular level, you know, we are basically dealing with the laws of physics most of the time. So right. The ways our cellular structure vibrates, it's to, you know, the laws of physics. That's why I'm able to sit in the chair I'm sitting in, because right. I'm vibrating to the same frequency the chair is. Right. That's why I can actually sit on it.
Right.
So, through our development, what we're doing is that we're bringing a different frequency through our system, and it's feeding our cells more of source power. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to remember that everything about us is already God. Cellularly, we already got. So if you take a basic cell, and then you imagine it's surrounded with this light, and that light is God's source. Mm-hmm. And so for most people up to recently, that God force has been very limited in how we've experienced it.
Right.
So with this new energy that's actually coming through, it's triggered that God force to actually feed our physiological system. And our physiological system has evolved intellectually, emotionally, mentally to a place where we're able to now receive that information. Yeah. So therefore what it's doing is it's lifting our consciousness, expanding our awareness. And on a cellular level, it means that our cells actually spin faster. And as they spin faster, they send out all this positive vibration to each other. And so what ends up happening is that, well, first, it's tried to push out all the old vibrations and energies. So that's why we face our stuff. But invariably, once we clear ourselves of that, then you could say we become a bit like a blank canvas, which really, if you think about it, you know, that's what God is also. The God force is just a blank canvas. It's forever creating. You know, the God energy isn't carrying memory. So the God nature doesn't have memory. It just has life.
Right. So it just goes forward.
All the time. So it's never referring to anything. It just keeps on being and keeps on accepting. So it's not, you know, storing up anything or you know, creating any little things it has to get back to. You know, it just consistently gets on with it. And this is what's happening to us. We're more able to just put down what was and simply accept it and just let it go. Whereas if you think about it in human nature terms, what we're involved in is this emotional experience, this emotional attachment, mm-hmm. you know, to people or to a situation or whatever. And that creates our responses. And so, you know, I think the only emotion, if we want to put it that way, that God ever experiences is love. So it's just love. And then through love, everything is created. But if you think about it in human nature terms, well, you know, love comes into a little bit, but we've got all this other mixed bag of different emotions, which, you know, create this sort of hodgepodge of experiences. And, okay, at some point, you know, the love is trying to get through. And you know, but I think one has to determine what that means too. I mean, there's lots of different ways of love. But from my perspective, in this way, I define love as a sense of respect for life. And therefore, in that sense, the understanding that we are all one. Mm-hmm. And if we really all lived in that way, well, you know, we wouldn't be going through the conflicts and the traumas individually, etc. So, you know, as we hear, you know, you've got to love yourself. And I think that also means you have to respect, you know, who you are as God. You have to respect that you are the creator, that you have to respect that you are making all of this happen. Mm-hmm. And so when you bring that concept through you on a more conscious level, then, of course, your cells are going to go, yeah. And someone said to me the other day, a stranger, actually, it was quite interesting. And I was just minding my own business and standing at the crossing, waiting to cross over the road, and this old Chinese man looked at me and goes, "You're a happy person, aren't you?" And I looked at him and I smiled. I go, "Yeah, I am." He says, "That's really nice." And he just walked like this. And he was just picking up on my vibe, you know. And I wasn't thinking particularly, you know, I'm a happy person. It was just obviously just coming out of my vibration in my energy. And a lot of people think, "Oh, well, you know, I haven't got a lot to be happy about in my life," all that sort of stuff. And I go, well, you know, what's that phrase Tamash uses? Whatever you pay attention to becomes your life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's not about you got to work at it, but you just have to be aware that you're the one who's living your life. You're the one who's making life happen. You're the one who has the opportunity to expand who you are. You know, you're the one who decides physically how you're going to feel, mentally, emotionally, everything. And yet, you know, people are so addicted to their human nature, I suppose is a good way of putting it. And what we're doing is we're moving away from the idea of ourselves as human in our nature and seeing ourselves more as source power and vibration in our nature. And therefore we can direct the human nature in more specific terms, which is, you know, what happens when we cross those bridges, when we connect with our higher nature. We expand our consciousness, and therefore we have that autonomy over life. We become these leaders of our human nature. And that's where we have to inform our human nature. You know, this is how we are. This is how life works. This is, you know, and this is, you know, what I've been doing. And I've realized the importance of the information that you have to give to your human nature. And even, you know, when that this is the situation, you know, I'm about to head over to the States, I need you to adapt into that energy, this is the way I need you to think, this is the way I need you to feel, whatever. And my human nature needs that information. And you know, because of that, I never get jet lag. I completely am fine. The moment I get off the plane, I'm at the gym, I do things, you know, and I just get on with things. And I have no trouble sleeping or, you know, trying to adapt into time zones and electromagnetic fields, you know, all that sort of stuff. Because I've told my body, I've told my human nature, here's the story. Like even before the interview today, I sat down, I said to my human nature, we're going to be doing this. Mm-hmm. And so it's this whole sense of respecting, you know, this relationship we have with these commodities that we represent, our minds, our body, our spirits. And we have to have a really positive collaboration. And that collaboration has to come about through the information that we give to it.
Well, I'm thinking about something I've heard Tabash say a lot of times. It's like, are you in the driver's seat or are you in the passenger seat? You know, is that, I think sometimes when he was saying that, it was like, meaning, are you letting someone else control your life? But could that also be the same, in the same context with this, as far as now it's you in the driver's seat with this part of you now?
Because, you know, we're multidimensional, and therefore we're playing all the roles all the time. And so I think what's happening is that we are bringing together, consolidating, pulling in whatever, more and more of these higher aspects of ourselves. And therefore it's just changing the dynamics of how we do the driving. And sometimes we consciously let a part of us do the driving, whereas another part of us just be the passenger and look at the view.
Right. In my case, before I started getting closer and closer to, you know, being the driver, I was in the back seat. I was letting away everybody. I was giving away all my power, you know.
I think everyone's been in that position.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly where they want to be.
No, not at all. And then you're like, wait a minute, what's wrong? Why is everybody else running my life? Well, because you let them.
But then, you know, that comes from people's emotional attachments to fears and worries, all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I think, too, also, I think a lot of people are lazy, you know, and it's like, oh, it's too hard, or, you know, I can't be bothered, or I'd rather do this, or all that sort of stuff. And yet then they see the results, what happens, and then, you know, they get angry or they wish it could be different or whatever. And you know, that, you know, if I was to say this, if there's one major thing we're having to embrace right at this time, is be responsible for yourself and stop pointing the finger. And a lot of people don't want to do that, particularly when they look at some of the stuff that they've been through. And I was talking to a lady the other day who has been through a lot of, you know, physical abuse from her father in her life. And she's made peace with it and all that. But for her to heal, she had to actually take responsibility for the fact, well, that was actually my reality. And a lot of people just aren't going to buy that. And yet, because she did, she found forgiveness, but then she found love. And she just said, you know, and then Tabash said something to her, which just suddenly clicked. And it was like one of those, it was like everything was just emptied out of her. And then, you know, she said, I just feel like going to my dad and giving him a big hug, you know. And that's at the end of the day what it comes down to. Because as we know, you know, karma, as they say, is going to look after you. So it's about, you know, make a better deal with yourself. And that's actually what I just said there. It makes me think that's probably what we're doing now. We're making deals with ourselves. We're making better deals with the way we think, the way we feel, the way we live, the way we carry our lives, you know, where we're standing in life, where we're going in life. You know, what's the deal, you know?
Exactly. It's like, you know, I don't like the way it's been going. I want something else. And so, by golly, this is what we're going to do now.
You know, saying that makes me think, but, you know, it's not about suppressing your energies. And I just think about something I wrote in the second book, which was, I was talking about, you know, you read all these things about make peace with your anger and, you know, be best friends with your self-doubt and all that sort of stuff. And then so I sort of was writing this, and then I suddenly thought, well, actually, sometimes I don't want to go and have lunch with myself now or be best friends with my anger. I actually want to feel it sometimes. But then, as I put it, but then I like to think that I'm evolved and grown up enough to know that I've had my moment, put it down, and then get on with it. You know, so yeah. So it's not about going around with this big beatific smile on your face all the time.
That can look like you're insane.
So, and you know, you just got to realize that as humans, we have emotions and we are going to be annoyed with people and, right. And you know, do the things that we do sometimes because it angers us. But as long as it doesn't get out of hand,
right.
And then, but more particularly, as long as we know when to put it down, right. You know, that's important. And I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like the more we're putting more light onto who we are, then the more we see and the more we see, the more we realize, oh, yes, I know I can do that differently. And then that's where the higher nature steps in. And you know, that's how it allows us to live more consciously with the idea of ourselves as multidimensional beings, because we know we're actually accessing information all of the time. And, you know, when I was sick and I was having my meditations, I actually found myself in a dimension that was there to help me heal. I wasn't even thinking about it. It just happened one day. And I went back there every day for a whole month. And even now talking about it, it makes me want to cry because it was just the most amazing, beautiful, fantastic frequency. And you know, when I try to have my meditations now and I try to get back to that place, I can't because it was that place for that time.
Yeah. And don't need it now.
Well, absolutely. And that's the thing, you see. It's about not to covet an experience, to know that was for that time and that frequency and just let it be. And because there's always other vibrations and dimensions that you're able to access. And yet, again, you know, it showed to me and proved to me that, yeah, this is real. You know, because while I was there, I was not only just seeing it, I was smelling it, and it was so tactile. It was the most bizarre experience, but the most amazing experience. And just the beauty and the simplicity. And I remember once going, I met up with this master teacher, and he took me down these steps. And we actually went into this pool of what I thought was water, and it wasn't. When we stepped in, it was sitting. It was energy, and the master said, "This is an energy pool to heal." And I said, "Well, how does it happen? How does it happen?" And he said, "Well, what happens is that in places through dimensions on Earth, whatever, he says, there are places where energy consolidates more and creates a swirl of power." And this is where these things can come about, basically. And that's where you can go. This is where you feel it. And you can just feel that energy. You can stay somewhere and go, wow, I can really feel the power here. Mm-hmm. And so that was that place. And so, you know, when we're teaching ourselves to accept that this is what we're all about, there's a little bit of conflict of interest between, you know, this earthy and human nature part of us with all its history, and to realize that has to be just positioned where it needs to be. But then to realize that we've got all this other history that we're accessing all the times. Mm-hmm. And it's making us be more aware of just ourselves as creation. We're involved in the creation energy. And this is what this walking across this bridge is doing. It's suddenly we got there, you know, and so now let's walk across that bridge, and there's no turning back.
Right.
And once you find yourself at that bridge, then, you know, all you can do is walk across it. And yet, you know, for some people, they might reach that bridge, and then they might hesitate. Mm. And you know, it's interesting. Everyone will be different. Mm-hmm. Others are going to go, "Oops, I've been waiting for this all my life. You know, let's go to it."
Bring it on.
It's got a picture of everybody running across bridges with the music, "Love is a Many Splendor thing." And everyone's running in slow motion. and higher self sitting there going, you know, waving.
Why did it take you so long?
when I said that, I just thought, what this means also is that we're actually moving towards each other as well. Because as you move towards your higher nature, then you're also accepting everyone, you know, collectively, you know, as God, but also as an aspect of yourself. So therefore, we're just moving more and more, you know, towards each other's energy all the time. And that's where I just think when that Chinese man said to me, you know, you seem a happy person. It was like, you know, I just walked towards another part of myself. And those things just occur, little things like that, you know, those little subtle things that you realize, well, those are the little links that bring everything together. It doesn't have to be some big event or, you know, big emotion as such. It's more just a subtle everyday things that just occur. And they're just the acceptance of that. And I think that people are perhaps looking too much at some big something to happen. And I actually have come to this conclusion that that doesn't need to happen. Yeah. And it's just these little tiny things that, and suddenly you find yourself, you know, like, oh, how did I get here? Right. You know?
Well, and they're very personal things, I think, actually, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, though, isn't it? It is all about person.
Yes, exactly.
It's not about anybody else.
No, it's not some big cosmic event. It's here, like we said, all the answers are within. So that's where these things are going to happen as well.
You know, and also I think this changes the dynamics of our connection with Source, our connection with Spirit, our way of how we use Spirit in our lives, how we use the guidance as such. And I think in the past, because so much of us had so much to resolve, that we were using Source power to assist us, to heal us, to show us. Whereas now, because we stand more equally within the energy, then our relationship with the guidance changes because we need them in different ways. But also because we stand more equally, powerfully together with their energies, then I think it makes us all greater creators together. And therefore, not only do we help to create our own existence in a greater way, but we realize our place that we play in creating life itself, creating the universe, creating more of everything, basically, which I think everything is doing all of the time.
You're saying that's why everything's accelerating. That's why so fast. It's because we're all, that makes so much sense.
Well, I mean, you turn a light on and I turn a light on and someone else turns on, well, suddenly there's more light. And that light propels us, you know, into a greater sense of expansion, and which is what's happening all of the time. And of course, you know, with this too, this is where we are being more exposed to greater truths, understandings, even more UFO activity. You know, we're being exposed to so much of what's there because, I mean, it's always been there, but now it's like, yeah, we can now see this and get this without panicking. Yeah. You know, we can see this and get this without feeling we have to run into our bunker. You know, it's just, So I find it interesting as an observer as much as a participant, just the energy and what's going on. I mean, even just personally looking at my own friends and people that are in my life, and how they themselves are going through, you know, their own energies and struggles. I had a very interesting dinner the other night with my best mate, David, and we have this thing, whereas every year we celebrate each other's birthday by taking each other out. We don't do anything else. We just do that. So it was his turn in July. Anyway, so we're at this restaurant, and I said to him, well, he said to me, you look a bit odd. And I sort of joked, yeah, more than usual, but... he said, I don't know, it's just like you're here, but you're not here. And I said, well, I was about to say the same thing to you. And I said, it's really weird. At the moment, I feel like I'm about 11 feet high and watching my body doing all these things. But he was feeling the same thing as well. And David and I have known each other for 35 years, so we know each other a lot. And we have all these metaphysical conversations all the time. Mm-hmm. And so we spent the whole of his birthday evening in this altered state. It was really bizarre. And we were able, and we were finding that our conversation was coming from levels that we had not experienced before, and just information and stuff. And I was sort of looking around, and I could notice that people were sort of like leading the table, trying to listen. You know, and the waitresses were sort of hovering, you know. And then one woman even said to us, she said, I want to come and sit with you guys, you know. And what it makes me think is that when you're aligned with certain people that are of that vibration, this is what occurs. And I think this is occurring more and more as well. So when you get, you know, and I'm just thinking about, you know, that this conference we're going to be speaking of,
right.
I think the collective power of this is just going to blast people into amazing energies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
Caliber of the speakers, the diversity of the speakers, and yet each is a component, you know, to this greater formula. And it's just going to lift the lid off the roof of the place. So,
I agree. I completely agree.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah. So we'll do a little ad there real quick for so it's expandinghumanconsciousness.com. August 3rd to the 5th is the expo. So check it out. If you want to get more information, go to that website, expandinghumanconsciousness.com. You'll get all the information. You can also, there's also a link at DoloresCannon.com and QHHTOfficial.com. So both of those will link to that website. So you can get all the information you want and get your tickets. Go there now. Okay. Now,
and back. The more people there, mm-hmm. the greater we're all going to be able to lift consciousness.
Yes.
And you know, even by participating in things like this is actually making the world a better place. And also when you think about the more people that are there, it's like the more chances we have of being source energy and making those links and all those amazing energies. That's why I love doing conferences, because I never forget, you know, when I'm standing up there, like all these people are opportunities for me to know myself. I remember, I think it was the last conference that I did, or maybe, I can't remember which one, but it was the one where Tabash was talking, but then he brought some music in and he got everyone up and was moving.
Okay, that would have been the one before the last one.
Yeah, I think that was the first conference yes. after Doris's passing.
I think so too, yes.
Yeah. And I just remember afterwards, so there, you know, there were quite a few people there, and no one left the theater. Everyone was in, they didn't want to leave because the energy was so awesome, you know? And not just that, but you felt the electricity, you felt the energy, and that's why I love doing conferences like that, because it's like a big hug, you know. You just it's a big love fest.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh! And that's how all of these are. I mean, at the end of them, nobody wants to leave. They never want to leave.
Yeah, it's the energy. But I mean, of course, is that we don't ever leave that energy. We can carry it with us and use that, you know, in any time. And, you know, people sort of think, oh, well, it dissipates after a while. But I don't think it does. I think what people do is they just layer it with all their stuff again. It was like, oh, well, that was an interesting conference. And, you know, it felt pretty good for the weekend. And, oh, I better get back into life, you know, until the next time they do something.
Yeah. Yeah, but they take that with them. And it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's another good point to make, that what we're taking with us now, what we're carrying with us now, mm-hmm. is so much greater than what we have in the past. And that's why, you know, when we have this autonomy over everything, then we realize that, wow, I've got access to extraordinary energy, information, ideas, feelings, opportunities. And then it just comes down to, you know, and again, bringing in your higher self here. Making these amazing arrangements mm-hmm. that one can. And of course your higher nature is there to help you make the best arrangements for yourself. And I think sometimes you just can just feel it. It's like, it's just the way you stand sometimes. It's just, you can feel that energy. And it just makes you feel that you could just do anything and be anything. And you feel this sort of superhuman nature just coming through you all the time. And whenever I feel that, one of the things I always do is I just accept this and go, oh, I'm having more of this. So, you know, a lot of people go, oh, what a... And it just keeps encouraging your system, you know, to get used to that. And I think that's another good point to make, which is we are more used to being God now. We are more used to having all the lights on now. And we are more used to the fact that we have choice. And it's about, let's get more used to this so that therefore we can, you know, have the lives that we want as individuals, but also collectively realize the responsibility we have to be there for each other, to make this world, you know, the way we actually want, you know, and not wait around for some moment or some event or some timing, but just involve, you know. It's like when I was driving back and decided I'm not going to be in the traffic jam. So therefore, you could extend that and go, well, I'm not going to be involved in conflict. I'm not going to be involved in poverty. I'm not going to be involved in ill health. I'm not going to be involved in doubt. That's a decision I make. It's not something I have to earn the right to do or be or think or feel. You know, I make the decision. And there again, you know, that's why the importance of the information that we give to our human nature. We're not asking our human nature. We are telling our human nature, this is how I choose you to be. Not, oh, excuse me, high nature, you know, or human nature. Oh, do you mind being healthy for me, please? I really appreciate it. You know, no pressure, you know, but if you could find some time to do that, I'd be really grateful, you know. And that's not exact. And human nature is going to go, who's that?
You know, and that's so good because we talk about how this is perfect because we talk about how, you know, the human nature and the body and everything, to it, we are God. I mean, we said that, you know, it's the universe. I mean, we are God to this universe. So that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And then you're going to tell it what.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
There you are. That's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, totally.
Yes. Hello.
No one else is going to tell you.
No. You know?
And it's like that thing again, God is not going to give you the answer.
No.
You're going to create the answer. God will give you the power. God will give you the life, give you the mentoring and the coaching and all that. God will not give you the answer. But, you know, we've been brought out through history, you know, to create this hierarchy. And all those systems are being broken down now, you know, politically, emotionally, socially, financially, all the old systems that we've lived our lives by. We can't abide by that anymore. And that's why, and also too, I think that human nature is sick of playing games. And that's why, you know, there's so much questioning and dissension and all sorts of things. And so that's where I suppose really when I said that, you have to ask yourself that, well, what sort of games am I still playing with myself? You know,
that's why your throat's doing that. Yeah.
It's very much about, you know, what changes need to be made in that sense. So, but I feel very hopeful and pleased with the way human nature is. I can feel that this is an enormous transition, that's all about love and light. And it just feels that way. And it's that whole feeling energy again that I spoke of. And I was reading something the other day. I might have shared this with you. And it was I was just reading one of Greg Braden's books. And he was talking about a time where he'd gone to a place in America where there'd been a big drought for a long time. And he was talking to one of the local shamans. And the shaman invited him to come up to the mesa, the sacred space, so that they could talk to the ancestors about creating some rain. And so Greg went, and so the shaman just stood there, and Greg was sort of expecting him to sort of, you know, do some chants or moves or whatever. But he just stood there for about 20 minutes or so. And then he stopped, and then as they were walking down, Greg said to him, oh, what were you asking the ancestors? And he said, oh, I would never ask the ancestors for anything. He said, what I was doing was that when I was standing there, it was raining. I was feeling the rain on my face.
Yeah.
I was feeling the freshness of the air because it was already raining. And so if you think about the concept of that, you know, right now is the success of everything, but also the failure of everything. So right now we're deciding And I've started, you know, the listeners might want to do this as well, where, you know, what I do in the morning when I have my morning meditation, I actually project to myself, say, you know, say it was like a Monday, and I would go, oh, what an amazing day Monday was. Mm-hmm. You know, best Monday I've ever had. Everything about Monday was really successful. You know, so what I'm doing, and then I get involved in the feeling of, you know, the success of that, the energy of that, the power of that. And then it's really interesting how things unfold to actually create those feelings and those events. Obviously, it's not just about following the lines and seeing where it's taking you. You follow the feeling and mm-hmm. see what you're creating. And then it just gives you more confidence to realize the success of the day is with me right now. And yet, you know, every day you're still going to be challenged with things, you see.
But you go in with that, that whole different.
You lose it like I did this morning when I was, the bus was behind me tooting at me, so I gave him the finger. But I still was gone doing it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm God in my human nature.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, on that note, we actually are at time, but let's go ahead and tell everyone how they can reach you if they would like.
Oh, absolutely. So if you want to contact me, I do personal sessions through Skype, and so my contact details are info@tabash.com.
And Tabash is spelled?
T-A-B-A-A-S-H. I'm also doing some private sessions while I'm in Eureka Springs. Okay. And so Julia has the details about that if you want to contact her. And, yes, so, you know, looking forward.
Yes, and you book up really, really fast. So if anyone wants a reading with you, you need to call in now because, you book up really fast.
So I'm staying on for a couple of extra days on the in the Monday, you know, to be able to do that. So,
right.
Look, I'm so looking forward to seeing everybody and seeing you guys. And
Oh, we are too.
It's going to be fantastic. So thank you for listening to me.
Oh, it's been fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. One last parting message.
Parting message.
Yes.
Remember that the day you're living right now is the day you're creating. And it's not a chance thing. It's full of infinite possibilities that come from the way you think, the way you feel, and the way right now you're participating in your own relationship with yourself. So go out there for the rest of the day and relate to yourself in the greatest way that you can to get the greatest results. And we're all backing you. So much love.
Love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Blair.
Pleasure. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's always a joy and a wonder to have you here. And I will have you on much, much more often.
Oh, love it. Okay. Wonderful. Great.
Thank you. Okay. And good night, everyone. And we'll see you again next time. Love you all.
Good night.
Good night.